Hello everyone, I welcome you all to an exciting chapter in Enterprise Solutions. So today we'll talk about cloud computing. Cloud in the recent times has emerged as one of the latest technologies for enterprises to adopt to the changing market requirements. So cloud provides a platform for which enterprises can easily have their go-to-market strategies, have faster time to deploy, have a competitive edge. They can devise all kinds of policies, frameworks, all kinds of dynamic learning from the market, right? So cloud today in the current scenario has emerged as one of the most powerful tools that all the enterprises are adopting to. It's not just the SMB space or the mid-market space, but everywhere that we see, cloud today has emerged as one of the most powerful tools in the enterprise IT market. So all the enterprises, big or small, are adopting to the cloud journey. So let us understand what is this cloud about, how the cloud came into picture, what are the advantages that cloud as a technology brings on the platform. Let us understand what are the different things that a cloud can offer. Let us understand the different deployment methods. So there are things like infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service. Let us understand them in more detail. Let us then look at the different service models. So say things like public cloud, private cloud, hybrid cloud, community cloud, right? So let us look at that. And finally, we'll have a look at the different cloud providers in the market. So just to name a few, there's Amazon Web Services, which is the number one public cloud player in the market right now, followed by Azure. And then followed by Google Cloud. So Google is slowly catching up, but then AWS is a clear winner in this space. I'll also talk about a few of the path-breaking AWS technologies that enterprises are adopting. So let us start this exciting journey. So cloud computing. So cloud computing can be defined as delivering computing power, which is CPU, RAM, storage, etc., etc., as a service over the network, rather than deploying everything on-premise in the customer environment. So cloud computing is a subscription-based service where companies can obtain the compute resources, the network resources, the storage resources, which are there on a public cloud or a private cloud or a hybrid cloud. So what does this mean? In a traditional IT landscape, what is required is that you need to have some number of servers where servers could host the applications. Then the servers could backend have a database which would be responsible for storing the information in a tabular form. And then there will be something like a front end server. So if I have to talk about a three tier architecture, so first there is the front end server, which is the web server. So web server is typically the web page that you see, right? Web server, then the second tier is followed by the application tier. So the application tier is where the application gets hosted on the server. And the last tier is the database server. Now the database server is where the database resides. So in a typical three-tier architecture, these are the three layers. Now in terms of the hardware infrastructure, you would require something called as a load balancer. Now load balancer is a unit which we would study under the IT infrastructure components. But at a high level, a load balancer is a component which distributes a load. So it could be the load distribution between the web servers, or it could be the load distribution between the application servers, or the distribution of load in the database servers. So at the front end, you have a load distributor. And then the load distributor would then pass on the traffic to the web servers. So in a traditional approach where the entire infrastructure is hosted on-premise, so all these components, so say right from the routers where the connectivity gets terminated, from there it comes to the load balancer, to the security devices like the firewalls and so on. It then comes to the front-end web servers, followed by the application servers, followed by the database servers, and then there is a whole host of storage. So it could be in the form of SAN storage, that is a storage area network, or a NAS storage, that is a network attached storage, or a directly attached storage, that is a DAS. But then DAS, we see not a wide variety of deployments in the current scenario. So it's mostly related to SAN because it gives low latency and a fiber channel output as such. So in a traditional environment, all these infrastructure components that I spoke about, routers, switches, firewalls, load balancers, web app, database servers, storage, so everything resides on-premise. Vis-a-vis the cloud, as the definition says, everything can be stored at a centralized location, which could be either a private cloud or it could be a public cloud, as in case of a AWS or a Google Cloud or Azure, right? So that is the main difference between a cloud compute, where everything is stored at a centralized location, vis-a-vis a on-premise, where everything is stored on a customer premise. So cloud computing, as it is mentioned, is delivering CPU, RAM, network, etc. as a service over the network. So a very good example to consider in this situation is that of G Suite, or the Google Mail as we call it, right? So Gmail is very popularly known email service, but then when the enterprise use the Gmail or the email for the corporate use, it's called as a G Suite. So G Suite has other different offerings as well. So it could be in the form of spreadsheets, it could be in the form of documents, which could be shared. So G Suite basically is a offering which offers everything as a service. So G Suite is an example here, where corporates or probably small or large enterprises do not have to invest heavily on the on-premise need. So you don't have to invest onto a server which hosts the email application. So say if I would host Microsoft Exchange, right? So I would have to host the Outlook application onto my local server, vis-a-vis something which G Suite offers, which provides email as a service, which is hosted on the cloud. So the Gmail is not hosted on the company's physical server, as I just mentioned. And the employees can access the email from anywhere, as long as they have a good internet connectivity. Now let us understand this. So cloud as an offering is good because it provides centralization to the entire IT resources. But then to access the cloud, you need to have a good internet connectivity or a private connectivity, right? So this is a heart of every cloud deployment. You need to have a very good connectivity to access the resources which are placed in the cloud. So the company can avoid having large amounts of storage, as I said. It could be in the form of either a centralized storage or a desktop or a laptop based storage. So many companies are adopting to such kind of services on the cloud. So let us look at few of the advantages of cloud computing. So just to start with, so cloud computing again is a term which is referred to storing and accessing data over the internet. It doesn't store any data locally on the hard disk. In cloud computing, you can access the data from a remote server, and the key to that is connectivity. So we just spoke about it. So let us discuss few of the key advantages that cloud computing would offer, and I would like to spend some time, because these are the most critical aspects of cloud computing and why cloud computing. So once you understand this, then I think 80% of the journey is through in cloud computing. So first, it talks about cost saving. So I'll take the things on the right first. So first, it talks about cost saving. Now, how cost saving? So we took the case of on-premise deployment versus a cloud-based deployment model. So in case of cost, the companies who offer cloud as a service, right? So they offer this as a service rather than a upfront payment. So upfront payment is something which is which the enterprise customers would really hate to do. So there is this, the cloud offering is given to enterprises on an OPEX model. So that is operational expenditure, rather than an on-premise installation which requires a capital expenditure. So I hope you understand these terms, correct? Now, when we talk about cloud deployment and the cloud strategies, so these services, so whatever is deployed, say for example, email as a service, right? So email as a service, it's offered on pay-per-use. So it's how much that you use, it's basically usage-based. Now say for example, there are things such as storage on the cloud. So the way Amazon Web Services charges them is the number of hours that you access is your bill that you that is generated at the end of the month. So it is pay as per use rather than making upfront payment in terms of a capex. The second advantage, the cost advantage that it provides is that as an organization, you do not have to invest heavily into skilled resources who manage this infrastructure as such, right? Because since everything is on the cloud can take care of it. But make no mistakes, you still need to have cloud architects. You need to have DevOps engineers who could actually, you know, work on those applications. So basically, the IT resources needed from a company's perspective to handle all the infrastructure on premise, it reduces. You would still need the application development guys and the people who manage the applications, but then the skilled resources needed are cut down to a lot to a greater extent. The key point under cost savings is also of the hardware maintenance. So assume that you have everything on premise. So if everything is on premise, that hardware also needs a lot of maintenance. So every year, suppose, say it's a very simple case, right? So say if you buy a laptop, so along with the laptop, there's a hardware warranty, correct? So it could be for 1 year, 3 years. But in case of IT equipment, so if it is servers or routers or storage equipments, so this equipment becomes all the more critical because all your business critical applications are hosted on them. So you need to have something like a 4-hour SLA. So if the, say for example, if the hardware goes down, then within 4 hours that needs to be replaced. So it requires a lot of maintenance cost as well. But when things are onto the cloud, then the cloud provider takes care of it and also gives you a SLA. So that's the cost saving that I was talking about. The other advantages are reliability. So in case of a reliability, again, I'll compare on-premise versus a cloud. So in case of on-premise, you need to have a high availability setup for each and every component. So say, for example, if it is a router which terminates the internet connectivity, so I need to have two sets of routers, or I need to have two sets of internet connectivity from two different service providers. Say one could be from provider one, one could be from provider two, one terminating on router one, one terminating on router two, right? So this is the kind of high availability that I need to architect in my solution. Whereas in the cloud provider takes care of it. Third is if I have to talk about, say, mobility. So the cloud, since we mentioned that it can be accessed over the internet, so you just need to figure out the internet connectivity. Any of the employees, it could be present locally or it could be, or the employees could be present across the globe, can access the cloud infrastructure as long as they have a good connectivity. Then we can talk about the unlimited storage capacity. So we said that if the infrastructure has to be on-premise, then you need to account for a storage appliance, which could be a SAN or a NAS or a DAS, right? But then this, the box has a limited capacity, right? So we all understand the capacity constraints. Say in case of a laptop, your hard disk is say 500 GB, right? So above that, the local disk, I mean to say, if it is 500 GB, above that, if you need to have higher amount of storage, you attach an external disk, right? So similar is the case. If you have a on-premise storage appliance, it has a limited capacity. It could be in terabytes, it could be in petabytes. But then if this capacity has to increase, if it has to scale, then you need to have one more appliance, and that's basically horizontal scaling, right? But in the cloud, it's virtually unlimited storage. So you can subscribe to the kind of storage that you need. Suppose if I want to have increased amount of storage, I can just subscribe to it and I can have it in the same time. But in case of on-premise, I need to wait for the box to arrive. So it goes through the entire purchase cycle. I'll finalize the vendor, I'll negotiate the cost, then I'll place an order, and it will take some 4 to 6 weeks for the box to get delivered, and another 1 to 2 weeks for the box to get terminated in my IT setup. But in case of cloud, it happens just over the fly. So that's unlimited storage capacity. We talked about quick deployment. So in case of on-premise, you have to have a lot of installation cycles. You need to have an implementation partner who can actually implement these gears on-premise. Whereas in case of a cloud, you just have to architect. And then it's basically you can have services running in, say, as short a time as 5 minutes as compared to an on-premise setup, which could take months to deliver. It facilitates very good collaboration. So the different applications could have very good collaboration between each other if it's a cloud premise, if it's a cloud based model vis-a-vis an on-premise model where you need to architect the workflows. For companies, adopting to the cloud gives them a very good strategic edge. Now, why is this so? So, till now the advantages that we saw were more operational in nature, but if we talk about a few of the tactical advantages, so one is the cost and one is the strategic edge over the competition. So cloud as a service, it offers edge over the competition because it can offer something that you can roll out your business critical applications very quickly, so ease of deployment, plus any kind of new learnings that are there in the market. So say for example, some algorithmic trading in case of a financial institution can be easily taken care of through machine learning applications which are already there in the cloud. So say for example, AWS has got an offering called as a SageMaker, right, which is a ML, that is a machine learning, right? So you could deploy any kind of algorithms based on SageMaker on the cloud and then link it to your infrastructure which is there on the cloud vis-a-vis deploying everything on-premise. So this basically gives a lot of edge over the competition, and that is where the strategic angle of getting that competitive edge comes in, right? So accessing the latest applications anytime without spending time and money on the installation gives companies the edge that they need in the competitive landscape. If we talk about high speed, so the way the cloud-based architecture is designed and deployed, it gives very high scalability as well as very high speed between the workloads vis-a-vis the on-premise where you have, you know, it's bound by a certain speed, and if you have to scale up, then you will have to replace the entire hardware ecosystem. Backup and restore. I think this is one of the most powerful point that cloud as a service offers. Now, you would have on-premise backup of your data, right? But then what happens if this data just boomerangs, right? So if the data keeps on growing, and then you just have to archive it on-premise. So unnecessarily, you are investing in a lot of storage space, which probably you might or you might not access, but then you're still storing that data on-premise, and it is costing a huge bomb, right? Vis-a-vis a cloud where you can have the backup on the cloud and you are charged a very minimalistic fee for a backup service. So Amazon Web Service this has a service called as Glacier, which is a backup or the archival system that they provide, right? So you've seen the advantages, right? So cloud is really powerful if you talk about cost, if you talk about reliability. So AWS has a service called S3, which is a local storage on the cloud, which offers 11 nines of reliability. I mean, can you beat that? 11 nines, that is 99.999999, it's 11 times. I mean, no vendor in the world can give an on-premise setup with 11 nine of reliability. So that is the power of cloud. Unlimited storage capacity, the faster time to deploy, the competitive edge in case of the AI or the ML applications, the high speed of data that flows within the cloud. So these are some of the advantages that cloud would really offer. The other benefits of cloud computing include on-demand self-service. So we said that suppose if you have to say install a compute instance on the cloud, then it happens within minutes, right? So again, I'll take the classic example of AWS, and you'll see me referring AWS a lot more because I'm actually certified in AWS. I architect a lot of cloud solutions on Amazon Web Services. So in case of AWS or even Azure, so AWS has something called as EC2, which is a compute instance or a server on the cloud. It takes almost, say, 3 minutes to deploy a server in the cloud. Can you imagine the speed? Right, vis-a-vis say on-premise where you have to actually order a server, it will take some 4 to 6 weeks to deliver, then plug it into your infrastructure and so on, right? So for the from the application development perspective, it's super quick. Multi-tenancy. So multi-tenancy from a cloud service provider, it's a lot more beneficial, and also beneficial from the organization perspective. So I could have a multi-tenanted architecture. So what does that mean is that I could have a server which could host application from organization one, it could host application from organization two. Now this is the power of virtualization, and I'll take just 1 minute to explain what virtualization is all about. So in case of a server, we know that it could host an application. Now what happened recently about 10 years ago, people discovered that the applications that are running on a server, the server doesn't run to its full capacity. So if you look at the CPU utilization of a typical server, it would be say 20% or 30%. So you're basically not leveraging the 70% or the 80% of the utilization capacity in a server. So what they did was, on the top of the server, they made something called as a hypervisor. Now, just understand these concepts, right? Because these are very critical if you plan to, you know, transform your career into the cloud role or the data center role. So virtualization or the hypervisor is a layer which sits on the server, and it basically helps to have smaller servers. These are called as virtual machines on the same set of physical server. So what does virtualization do? In a nutshell, a same physical server can have a number of virtual machines or virtual servers, right? So that is what virtualization is all about. Now, doing or harnessing the power of virtualization, you could have a multi-tenanted architecture. So say if I have a physical server which has 10 different virtual machines, I could have two different virtual machines for customer A, I could have two different virtual machines for customer B, and I could store, I could have six virtual machines for customer C. So what I'm doing is, I am ensuring that my physical server works to the maximum capacity. That is point one. And from a customer perspective, it gives me the cost benefit, because I'm not utilizing the entire server for myself. I'm sharing the cost of that server between other customers, right? So that is the power of multi-tenancy. Third, it offers resilient computing. So we took the example of deploying everything on-premise, which requires a 1 plus 1 or 1 plus 2 to have redundant architecture, as compared to the cloud, which is already resilient in place. Fast and effective virtualization. So I explained to you what virtualization is and what are the benefits that virtualization drives. Third is after that is the low-cost software. So software can be agnostic, so it could be either on-premise or cloud, but then cloud, because of its scale, it could offer the low cost benefits. Advanced online security. Now when we have to talk about security, cyber security, there are a lot of elements that go when we deploy things on-premise. So say there are things like firewalls, there are things like IPS, that is intrusion prevention. Then there is something called as a web application firewall, which is the application which is the firewall for your applications. Then there are firewalls in between two segments. So between the web and the app, there is a firewall. And then there are a lot of other security mechanisms. So say, for example, something to protect against DDoS attacks, so distributed denial of service, identity, and so on. So in case of cloud, everything is taken care of. And the security that a cloud provider offers is humongous, because the cloud provider basically hosts the application for all the customers, right? So it cannot have any loopholes in their security systems. Location and device independence. So again, if you have on-premise, then you are tied down to a specific vendor, to a specific device. But in case of a cloud, you do not have to worry about that. Always available, scales automatically to adjust to the increase in demand. So there is something called as auto-scaling. So auto-scaling is a favorite of all cloud architects like me. So what happens is, if there is a surge in demand, so say if I'm developing a e-commerce website, say Flipkart, right? So say if there is any festival sale that is going on or that is about to launch, you would see a surge in the demand, say 10 times. So earlier, if there were 100 users who were accessing Flipkart.com, on a particular day, say if there's a Big Billion Day sale or something of that sort, from these 100 users would become say 10,000 users. So if I have everything deployed on-premise, then how does my entire infrastructure scale to such a demand? But in case of a cloud, there's something called as auto-scaling. So because we said that you could provision resources on the fly within 2 minutes, 5 minutes, so it is easy to provision the new resources on the fly and get the auto-scaling in place. Allows paper use. We mentioned how it is usage-based payment vis-a-vis on-premise, which is a one-time capex investment. Web-based controls and interfaces, and the API access. So these are tools which help you to integrate with your on-premise setup or the other applications as needed. So these are the benefits of cloud. So we said cost savings, flexibility in terms of the entire architecture, flexible in terms of the usage-based models, resilient architecture. So I think cloud has a lot of advantages as compared to the traditional approach. But having said that, there are a few shortcomings or a few areas where people are really skeptical about the cloud. So let us also look at them. So shortfalls of cloud computing. Now, although it says shortfalls, it's not really a shortfall as such. These are some areas which need to be tightened. So on top of the list is security. Now, you will get a lot, and being an architect myself, I get a lot from my customers as to how my data is secure on the cloud. So see, we have a mentality, right? So if things are there on premise, so my data resides on premise with me. So it seems or it feels more secure because you can actually see that the storage equipment lies with me. Vis-a-vis something which is on the cloud, so you cannot actually see where it is, right? So that's where people raise concern. How is my data secure over the cloud? So that is one of the primary concerns. The second is poor connectivity. So we said that the cloud can be wonderfully architected. It could have all the advanced technologies in place. It could have all the auto scaling, all the security elements in place. But then if I do not have a proper connectivity, a high speed internet link or a high speed private connectivity, then the cloud is absolutely of no use because I cannot actually access my data which is there on the cloud, right? Unless I have a good connectivity. Last point is of low support. So people claim that suppose if my resources are there on cloud, right, then I do not get support from the cloud vendor. So which is true to an extent, say in case of AWS or Azure, right? So what they provide is they provide the entire cloud as an offering, but then you need to have the knowledge in place so as to architect those things and work your way out. So if there are, say, things which are not working as per your wish, then you need to raise a support case with their staff, right? But then these are also taken care of. So as I said, these are some of the areas that are more perception driven rather than the on-ground reality. So security, if you ask me, security controls are there in place. Poor connectivity. So again, it depends upon the organization. So how do you want to have those connectivity, get the different service providers, get the committed SLA uptime from them. So connectivity could be at risk, bandwidth could be at risk, lack of support. So many companies, what they do is they hire the services of a professional consulting partner, right? So in case of a AWS or Azure or Google, they would have a partner in place who could, you know, design the entire infrastructure if the company does not know. And then they could take the level of support contracts from the cloud providers as well. So say if a service goes down, then what is the helpline number to reach them? Within what minutes could this service be brought back? So this is the kind of support that they can take, right? So having said that, these are few of the critical areas of cloud computing, but then these can be addressed through a proper well-defined architecture in place. So let us now look at the evolution, how cloud came into picture. So cloud technologies, so it's not just a new concept, say it is not originated some 5 to 6 years back, but then it has existed. So if you talk about the late 90s, cloud and software as a service came into picture, and there was a model by the service providers. So that was the first wave of internet, and it strengthened during the 2000 or the dot-com era as well. So the ASP model or the application service provider, it enabled many startups and the dot-com companies to actually take off. So these were the application service providers who would provide a specific application which was hosted, and they gave the application to the end customer to use. However, the ASP model did not survive, right? And we would see why. So the old business model, it actually did not cater to the demands or to what the challenges were that the organization were facing. So we will understand each of them in more detail. So the cloud model, that is the software as a service or the infrastructure as a service or a platform as a service, they have a lot of competitive edge over the traditional ASP model. So let us look at those in greater detail. So first is the application deployments. So the primary difference between an ASP, so they only deployed applications belonging to the customer themselves. So the cost was very high, and because this was for the customer, a custom, the application was already in place, to customize this particular application was almost next to impossible, because it was already a pre-packaged application that the ASP would host it and the customers would just access it. Vis-a-vis something like a SaaS model, which is software as a service. So I took the example of G Suite, right? So it's software as a service. So basically, if I have to provide, say, application, say for example CRM, right? If I provide CRM as a service, as a application to you, in case of a SaaS model, it could be customized as per the customer needs. So that's where it offered greater flexibility as compared to the ASPs. Next was the implementation timeline. So because it was a siloed application, it was really a tedious job to actually deploy it, and it involved, say, third party vendors to deploy this infrastructure. They absolutely had no idea of what that application was, how it got integrated with the entire ecosystem, right? In case of a SaaS, the product is customizable and is available completely. Cost, again, SaaS, because it's offered as a service, paper use or paper license. So say if I have to say take services of salesforce.com, so Salesforce is a very famous CRM for tracking the performance of sales guys, or say a better example, let us stick to our G Suite example. So say if I have to deploy a G Suite, which is a software as a service, then I just need to take the licenses for the number of email accounts that I have. So it's pay per use vis-a-vis application service provider model, where the entire thing had to be invested, right? So it did not have a pay per use. So say for SMB customers, if I have only a few customers who would a few employees who need the email access, then I unnecessarily have to invest a lot into the application as such. So this provides a cost advantage. Multi-tenancy, we spoke about virtualization and how multi-tenancy as a concept harnesses the benefits of virtualization. So SaaS offers products that are designed to use in a multi-tenanted environment. The code is separate and each customer has a different custom experience. So make no mistakes, when I talk about a multi-tenanted architecture, it doesn't mean that the security is compromised. No, not at all. If I have my virtual machine running on the same physical host, there are security groups, there are access control lists which are designed around my virtual machine, which keep my virtual machine separate from the other customer's virtual machine. So this offers a lot of security and a lot of cost advantages as well. So you've seen how the cloud model is better than the ASP model, which was in the early 90s and the 2000s. So let us now understand the cloud concepts in more detail.